Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, July 24th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my super de duper twin brother, John Abaya.
Hey guys, I'm here cosplaying as myself today.
I am cosplaying as you. So.
Oh, you are. Yeah. So what's the difference between us?
You have a beard.
I have a beard, that's right.
Your hair is slightly longer than I am.
Yes, a little bit.
You have longer. Children.
Oh, are you going to cosplay that too?
Yeah.
So you have to find two other kids that you might not know.
That looks like their children.
Yeah, look like my kids. That would be interesting. I want to see that cosplay. And I need to have someone that looks like my wife too. That's very interesting, Ben. That's a very elaborate cosplay. You can say you have to have other people cosplay too.
Then I have to have someone cosplay as my twin brother.
Oh, that's way too much.
Yeah.
And I'm here just by myself, so it will just be an odd way if we take a picture. It looks like we have triplets.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watch, listen, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the 2017 Comic-Con International in San Diego. We'll be discussing about the trailers that were released and things we are looking forward to. I think there's a lot to be looking forward to and a lot that are not that great to be looking forward to. but we'll discuss that later. So speaking of that, we won't have a trailer talk this week because the trailer talk will be our main discussion. And we're going to discuss about like a handful of trailers. But yeah, we'll leave it to a surprise. But before anything, John, did you do anything this week?
No. Not really. I did finish something on Netflix. You know, the people who help us promote or not promote our sponsors every week. Just kidding. If you are Netflix and you're listening to this, hey, throw some money to us if you want, and we'll talk more about your shows. Well, that's conflict of interest, actually. Kind of weird. Never mind. Don't do that at all. So I caught up. It's not even a Netflix show. I just realized it's an AMC show that's on Netflix. I had like a couple episodes left on the queue, I guess. I finished it this year or this week. I basically finished the third season of Halt and Catch Fire.
Humans crave connection.
They've stolen all our users.
They cloned the whole thing?
This isn't happening!
I'm talking about you and me partnering again.
I'm going to work for Mutiny.
This is gonna keep happening. We'll never be in the driver's seat.
I guess it's time to move out to the left coast.
I had an affair!
Part of me doesn't want you to go away.
Holding hands with Joe McMillan never ends well.
So that was a clip of Halt and Catch Fire. I've talked about the show in previous episodes. I just want to mention this real quick. I'm finding the third season very exciting, and it's a great companion piece, you could say, to Silicon Valley, especially the goal that they're trying to like accomplish. Basically, in this end of the season is like the opposite of but the start of what Silicon Valley is trying to do. And I don't want to like do any like spoilers for any of the shows, so I'm trying to like veer off of what the show is actually about. But yeah, it's right now for me, it's really great. I really love how all the casts evolve throughout the seasons. And I just heard that they just got picked up for a fourth season. I'm very excited to see that and how each one of them, if they, it's the last season too. So I forgot to mention that. So the fourth season will be the last season. And yeah, I just want to see how Joe, Gordon, Cameron, and Donna, and even Toby Huss character John, basically what their character's end is. And then seeing the preview for season 4, it's very exciting. And to mention this too, slight spoiler, I guess, for season 3, they basically enter like a new decade. So most of the show in the previous seasons, they are in the 80s, end of the 80s, basically. So sooner or later, of course, they'll enter the 90s. And then watching the show, season 3, it got me very evolved more because I grew up in the 90s. I'm a 90s kid. You and I are, Ben.
Yes.
And just seeing the references they do about the 90s, about TV shows, the clothes, and video games is the most important thing. Just seeing certain things they mention about video games is just very inspiring. Not inspiring, but it give that nostalgic feeling. I always felt like I had nostalgia for the 80s, but I never grew up in the 80s, but I like a lot of 80s stuff. But when they enter entered the 90s, I'm very nostalgic of everything they're showing on TV and all the things, the colors and all the, it's just very cool the way season 3 shaped up to be. And I can't wait for season 4.
Do they, because you said they go from one decade to the next, do they show them like their costume design, like production
kind of
design?
Mostly there is logo designs, I think, is a thing that's very catchy in this world. These a lot Holding Catch Fire takes place in the tech world in Southern California, or not Southern, what is that, the Silicon Valley area.
It's Northern California.
Northern California area. Then just seeing like certain logos of things, like it's that square, triangle, wiggly line type of, I don't even know what you call that type of art that we see, like the Saved by the Bell that has it a lot.
They call it 80s wave or something like that.
Oh, 80s wave, or really? Like new wave. I did not know that. Aesthetic. And I always, yeah. Oh, okay. Is that thing just like the last part of the 80s and goes into the 90s? Because I always felt like that's a 90s thing more than an 80s thing. Yeah.
Something like that. It's something wave aesthetic. I've seen it used in like Tumblr.
What do you mean? Accounts
on Tumblr ties repeat that type of aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just very excited to see this season. I think this season starts end of this year, I hope. And it sucks because I don't really have an AMC account, so I have to wait for it for Netflix to have the season. But yeah, it's just very exciting.
Yeah, I'm probably going to rewatch it. It's called... Rewatch it. Start on it again. Uh-huh. I like all the actors in it, like Lee Pace, Scoot McNairy, Mackenzie Davis.
Mackenzie Davis was my pick to have to be Captain Marvel for Marvel. But I like Brie Larson too, so...
Yeah, like either pick is really good.
You steer it to Comic-Con, everyone.
What was it?
To steer it to Comic-Con talk a little bit.
Oh, yes. But before we get to that, I watched something too.
Speaking of
Comic-Con, like this director has brought like many films to the Comic-Con Cole H panel. This past weekend he has created another film, probably not particularly for Comic-Con, but the film he just created, he written and directed by Christopher Nolan. The film I'm going to talk about is Dunkirk. So that is a clip from the trailer of Dunkirk. This is the plot synopsis from IMDb. Allied soldiers from Belgium, the British Empire, and France are surrounded by the German army and evacuated during the fierce battle in World War II. We talked about this in a trailer talk last year, and I think, or the beginning of this year, and we were all looking forward to this film because I think a lot of us are big fans of Christopher Nolan and all his films, especially the Dark Knight trilogy. I think you and I are big fans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this film is written and directed by Christopher Nolan. It stars Finn Whitehead, Tom Glenn Carney, Jack Lowden, Harry Styles for my D1ers, or One Direction, 1Ders.
I was like, D1ers?
I don't know. I don't know anything about One Direction. Anne-Urin Arnold, James... I used to remember how to say this name, but now Darcy, James Darcy. I don't know why I thought Barry Gohan, Kenneth Branagh, Cillian Murphy, Mark Rylance, and Tom Hardy. And music is by Hans Zimmer. If you notice in the trailer that roaring or like even soft, you know, melody he has sometimes. Anyway, so I went in this film watching it with a group of people. Two of them are my parents because it's a war film, and I think my parents really like World War II films too. And as for this film, it's Christopher Nolan's most masterful film yet. He's taking the symbolic of being a the, you know, heroism or patriotism of most war films and thrust the audience into the danger, the trenches of warfare from the land to the sea to the air, and crafted something remarkable with the film. From the cinematography from Hoyten van Hoytema, best known for Interstellar, Her, The Fighter. Cool. Yeah. And to Hans Zimmer's score. And the sound effects is really good. You feel this overwhelming and the sense of claustrophobia. Because I think the way he directed the film, and, you know, great with Hoyten van Hoytema, is like they frame each shot where it feels like everything's caving in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
From the pilot that Tom Hardy plays to the small boat that Mark Rylance operates, and from the soldiers of like Harry Styles and Finn Whitehead. It's very claustrophobic. It works really, you know, very, very well. I love how minimal the dialogue was and how minute each scene is. And speaking of time, Nolan also plays with time in this film, and how he once again uses like the non-chronological structure in a film. Like,
does he do it like Memento style?
Or does more he do it like Interstellar style? If you're a fan of The Prestige.
Okay,
it's not as crazy as Memento, but Prestige took a lot of like liberties when it came to what's happening with the time structure. When I mean chronological, non-chronological, I meant like in a simple film, let's take like the Avengers or Infinity War is probably going to take this. Usually it's a straight line. Like there is a beginning, middle, and end. You're never in another timeline, and there's not a lot of flashbacks or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's taking that non-chronological structure again and implemented in this film. Surprisingly, I think this is his shortest film. It's less than 100 minutes long, which is like...
What?
Yeah, it's less than most comedies out there right now.
Like, are you sure? I wanted to watch this film, and I swore I saw it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
No, it's an hour and 46, but if you remove the credits, it's less than 100 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is really great, because I feel like he's taken this audience into... Like, from the very first shot, you're already intense. It's like, it's already tense, the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very last shot, you're very tense. So, imagine, like, all his best parts of all his films, all of his, you know, when he builds up tension. This is, like, in one film. Yeah. But I highly recommend the film, especially if you're a Christopher Nolan fan. If you're a World War II buff, I highly recommend it too. I think he's taken something that wasn't well known among Americans, because this is basically a British Empire film. Like, it is mostly, show Englishmen and soldiers and the people from, you know, the UK and also from Belgium and France, and just, you know, helping each other out. So it's really cool to see patriotism take in another point of view, aside from Americans' point of view, because we always see the American point of view when it comes to World War II films, mostly. But yeah, that is Dunkirk. It is out now. I highly recommend watching it on IMAX 70mm. With the way he uses 70mm in IMAX is really, really incredible.
How much percentage of this film is in 70mm? Or IMAX?
Sorry. I would like to say about 70 to 80%. It takes... What was it?
For the listeners who don't know about like the IMAX films, sometimes when they shoot it in IMAX, the film will stretch, right? Stretch up and down. Or I don't know how you say that.
Vertically or horizontally. It looks usually it looks like a square, in a sense, but more probably vertically stretch more.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses each, you know, spot in the frame. So, like, every detail's there and whatnot. But, yeah, that's Dunkirk once again. Moving on. So, quickly, we're going there really quickly. On to our main discussion. This week's main discussion is the 2017 Comic-Con International in San Diego, California. We're going to talk about a bunch of trailers that we have watched, but we're just going to talk about a handful. But the trailers that we won't be talking about, I'm just going to mention them really quickly, because I think it's overwhelmingly a lot.
Yes.
So here are trailers that we won't be talking about. But we encourage the listeners to go out there, seek the trailers, especially the things that you are interested. I think you'll be delighted about all these properties or stories that are being told on television and film. It's funny that Comic-Con Pokemon has turned into this. It used to be talking about a lot of comic books, but now it's this now. This is where we're at. There were trailers from Bright, Rocko's Modern Life, Static Cling. That's an interesting trailer. I recommend that if you're a 90s kid. Inhumans, America Horror Story, Cult, Jigsaw, The Walking Dead, Pacific Rim, Uprising, The Gifted, Marvel's The Defenders, Preacher, Vikings, The Lego Ninjago.
You're saying it correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Ninjago movie, Star Trek Discovery, Westworld, The Orville, and many, many more. There's so many. It's kind of it is definitely overwhelming.
Yes, it is.
But John, we picked two trailers each. So what are the two trailers you'll be discussing?
First, I will discuss about our sponsors, wink wink, Netflix.
What?
No. Netflix's new season for the hit TV show last year that came out around Halloween, I believe. They premiered the new trailer for Stranger Things 2, I think.
Whatever is happening is spreading from this place.
What does it want?
Not me. Everyone else.
Will! Wake up!
That's it's a clip from the trailer. I don't know if it's Stranger Things 2 or season 2.
It is Stranger Things 2. They're keeping it literally the whole, is called
2.
Like,
yeah. Okay, yeah, everything I see is 2. That's why I don't know if they're going with I think it's a cool idea to make it seem like it's a movie. Like, you know, like this experience watching the first season felt like it's a cool movie, a long movie. But this trailer is probably my favorite trailer out of Comic-Con. I enjoyed the other ones that we'll be discussing, but this one really hit me for my love of Ghostbusters and just the continuing story of these kids. And we actually get to see Will play a big part of this season. Seems like, I hope he plays a part. They're hyping it up like he's like the thing in this trailer.
The thing from The Thing?
No, I mean, he's the...
Because that's from the 80s, too.
Oh, yeah. Not 11, but he's, he seems like he has all the answers. So, if the listeners have never seen Stranger Things, I encourage you to watch season 1. It's one of my... one of my favorites. I don't know if it's one of your favorites.
It was, but yeah. It was at the
last
time,
year, yeah. It was probably my favorite TV show from last year. Probably... I don't remember what we discussed, but, yeah, it's just really cool style of filming from the... I forgot what are the names. The Duffer Brothers.
Yes.
That's how everything looks... Yes. Oh, they're twins?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
They were born the same year as you and I.
Oh, is it the same day?
No, no, I don't know, probably.
That would be funny. But yeah, the Duffer Brothers basically last year did a great job making everything look so 80s and just playing homage to Steven Spielberg and Amblin?
He also paid tribute to Wes Craven and...
Yes, other iconic horror in 90s sci-fi, 80s sci-fi. So this trailer, basically, all the imagery just reminds me of that again. And it's a cool way to open the trailer up with Will and how he is that person that's been in the Upside Down longer than 11 and knows everything. Not knows, but experiencing the strange things that he's been... yeah, experiencing. And if you don't want to know anything about the trailer, I suggest everyone listening to this from my point of this point on, we'll be spoiling everything in the trailer. So if you don't want to know anything about any of these trailers we'll be discussing, yeah, just turn it off or watch them or real quick. But it seems like there's a giant spider is the enemy this season, and Will and gang has to stop them. And I love, there's a scene that's perfect, recreation of the shot from Ghostbusters when they first trap a ghost in the, oh God, I forgot what is it called. I forgot what the trap is called.
I forgot too.
Yes, but they basically, in Halloween, it looks like the whole show takes place in Halloween, around Halloween. And the gang are dressed up like Ghostbusters, and then they made their own little trap unit. Oh god, I feel bad not knowing. And then they captured something, and then there's a scene in the trailer where they put the thing on top of the dead table and it starts rattling, and it's a, like a perfect shot, not shot for shot, but the reaction of them going back a little is similar to what we've seen in Ghostbusters when they first trap something. And I just love that shot. It just reminds me. And I think the best part I forgot to mention is they open up the trailer with Vincent Price talking about it's close to midnight and something evil is lurking in the dark. And basically the whole trailer is has the soundtrack, or not the soundtrack, but the melody of Thriller.
Yes, Thriller. Yeah.
Michael Jackson's Thriller. But they don't do the full song, but they do the beginning mostly. And it's kind of cool, like all these 80s stuff. And it's just really a really cool visually, the sound, everything. It's just great. I just really like this trailer a lot. And the ending, it shows Elle coming back from the upside down into our world, and that's cool. It has that same what do you call that type of effect? The
upside down world effect?
No. You don't use special effects or
practical effects.
Again, and I just love that. The trailer does have like a lot of like CGI stuff still. Like, of course, they can't build a giant spider, but they do it so well that it looks so cool.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I really love the trailer. I feel like they grabbed that nostalgia really well from season one. And then season two, they still continue that nostalgia with, like, you know, the Ghostbuster references and the Michael Jackson references. And I like, it's incredible. Those two brothers are really incredible when it comes to creating the show. They write, I know they don't direct all the episodes. I think they only direct like one or two episodes, usually like the, you know, the beginning and the final finale of the season. But yeah, I like how they're not going towards like the hangover route where they always leave one character off who's usually like in the beginning, and then it's their adventure, wacky adventures to find this one character. Like, now they're including Will in this, which is really cool. I want to see how this is going to, like, in the future, what they're going to try to do. Because I feel like you could tell so much story about these individual characters or these kids that it might get tiring.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I always thought of this as like an anthology, but it's not going that way. It seems like it is just a, because that name, Stranger Things, feels like an anthology type of name.
Yeah.
And it's interesting they're just continuing the story.
Yeah. But looking forward to that. What is the other trailer you have brought to us?
How about we just go back and forth? So you tell me one of yours. I don't feel like talking.
So my trailer is something we've talked about in the past. It is the new trailer for the Justice League.
I don't recognize this world.
You don't have to recognize him. We just have to save it.
So that is a clip from the new trailer that was released on Comic-Con. Once again, like, I don't need to explain like who's the director, but at the since that time when we, you know, talked about the trailer, I think you know, something tragic happened with Zack Snyder and his family, and then Joss Whedon has taken over with the directing, helming the film. But I think they might share co-director, or Zack Snyder really like directed all the film, and Joss Whedon is just trying to, like, you know, polish it up. For him. But yeah, so the Justice League new trailer shows a lot, especially Gordon is in there, played by J.K. Simmons, which he's always great in. Now he can't play, what's his name, on Spider-Man.
James Jonah Jameson. His name is so similar to the Spider-Man name, that's why it's confusing sometimes.
Yes. But yeah, it's a really great trailer. It came with a really great poster too, and I feel like fans of either the, you know, if you're a DC fan or just fans of comic book films, you will be really thrilled about this trailer showing all the best superheroes from the DC universe, and just plus more stuff. I do have a just. I always wanted to ask you this question, John. After watching that trailer, do you think that Superman in the end, that Gordon, Commissioner Gordon,
he's talking to Superman
or no Green Lantern? So,
I think it's Lantern, because in the trailer they mention, I don't know who's the villain in this movie, but I'm assuming he's the one who's talking the voiceover throughout the trailer. And he says like, there are no lanterns, there are no Kryptonians, yeah, and something, something. And then I was like, why would they even mention lanterns, even though it's not even like established in this universe yet? So I'm assuming either Batman found a lantern and then is sending a beacon of help, like SOS, and that's him, or it is just Superman. And there's a scene in the trailer where Batman's like on his supercomputer seeing a 3D image. It seems to be Superman's leg and a cape, but other people are speculating it's Wonder Woman. Supergirl might make an appearance in here, looking for Kal-El. How do you say his name? Kal-El. Yeah. basically, yeah.
I just realized it's not Commissioner Gordon. It's the butler. His name now.
Oh yes, in the ending of the trailer it's a butler. Oh god, you just made me forget too, just like saying it. Alfred.
Yeah, so he might be, Alfred probably use a lantern, because the reason I think it's Green Lantern, because when it ended, when he says something,
it's green.
Yeah, it turns green, and all like, in, that's yes,
it says
like,
all in, yeah. I was like, what do you mean by all in? Are they saying that everyone is in here, like what if it's more? Like, we don't know. Maybe Nightwing shows up. What if it's Batgirl shows up? Like, all of this, the people that we thought, oh, wait, no, you know, that don't live in this universe actually are in this universe.
That's right? True.
Maybe Arrow will show up. Or Green Arrow.
Yeah, Green Arrow is his name.
Yes.
But yeah, yeah, really interesting trailer. And
do you like the scene when Aquaman hop over the fence? That's my favorite scene.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah, and you get to cool see scene. The comedy in it too, which is really cool.
Yes.
Because a lot of people always say that Marvel films are more funnier because it's Marvel, but I think they set the tone correctly in this film, and they know that they are this, you know, superhero film too, and that they could act funny too.
You mean they know that their heroes are dressed up in these silly costumes, and then and then that they do these weird things sometimes. Like there's a cool scene in the trailer with the Flash and Commissioner Gordon. I don't want to ruin it. Just it's I don't want to explain it because it doesn't do justice. But yeah, if you watch
it, doesn't
that
do
part,
Justice League.
Oh yeah. doesn't do justice, but I'm calling it now. Flash, I forget the actor, Enza, or
Ezra Miller,
is going to steal the show. He's going to be the Quicksilver of this Justice League, basically.
Okay. So moving on, what's the last one you brought to us?
Moving from DC, let's enter Marvel space and let's talk about the newest trailer for Avengers Infinity Wars. We have it here. No, we don't have that at all, because they haven't released that yet, Ben. I don't know why, but they did release one trailer that I'm very excited for, and in a similar tone that to Stranger Things, that the tone of the film looks very exciting, is Thor Ragnarok.
This will be such fun.
Hi. He's a fighter.
Here we go.
I'm not a queen or a monster. I'm the goddess of death.
So that's a clip from the trailer, and judging by the music,
I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't paying attention?
Yeah.
It's Thor Ragnarok? I think that's how you say it. You have to really say the rock.
You know the Ragnarok? It always
Ragnarok?
Reminds me. Uh-huh.
Ragnarok?
Ragnarok.
Yes.
It always reminds me of those little puppets.
What puppet? Rag dolls? I guess rag is in there.
No. Those little puppets from like Jim Henson. They live in the cave.
Oh.
Dang it. Now
Ragnarok. Welcome to Ragnarok.
You keep on thinking it's Ragnarok now.
Yeah. Now I don't even know what they're called now. Yeah. I want to say Ragnarok.
Anyway, what about the trailer that you like?
I like the 80s aesthetic of the trailer again. I love that the music and everything. They even have what's his name? Bruce Banner is like, I have the IMDb page up in front of me, and I was about to open another one on my browser. But I love that they have he's not even billed very low in here. Who plays Bruce Banner again? Mark Ruffalo is in this film as Bruce Banner. Similar to like the teaser trailer that came out earlier this year, he's in the film Hulk. He's going to, play around with Chris Hemsworth's character Thor, and they're trying to build a team to destroy this evil being that's just pure evil, I guess you could say. I forgot her name. I think Lady Death is her name, but the way that trailer evokes that 80s aesthetic again, and the way it looks like the style and everything, and it just looks really awesome. I love how there's color in this film, a lot of color, and I always wanted that in like more movies. The Thor always felt like there's less color too, even though the world's very beautiful. But this one is in the realm of space, so they're in the Guardians of the Galaxy territory, and it feels like one universe. Like, this is basically like, oh yeah, we're embracing that Guardians aesthetic, and we're bringing it more to the other people. Other movies, basically. And I just love that, the way everything looks so cool, so bright in the colors. And I have to mention too, like, they have a cool cast of characters. Idris Elba, I think I'm saying his first name,
you're
right?
Saying it right.
Returns as Heimdall from the previous. He's basically the gatekeeper of Thor, or the Rainbow Road thing. I forgot what it was called. Rainbow Road is from Mario Kart. But yeah, he's in it, and he looks like Bishop from X-Men. So I have no idea what's happening there. He has like long dreads and everything. So I want to see what happens with him. And Tom Hiddleston's come back as Loki, and he's teamed up with his brother or half-brother.
Again.
Again. But with a new addition, with Tessa Thompson.
Tessa.
Tessa? Yeah, Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie.
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah,
you said Tomlinson.
After that Ragnarok word, I'm like saying the words all different. And Jeff Goldblum is there, and I really can't wait, because it's directed by one of my new favorite directors. I am not trying to say his name.
Taika Waititi.
He did The Hunt for Wild People, Wilder People, and What We Do in the Shadows. He's more
and
a comedic.
Boy.
And what? Oh, well, I haven't watched Boy.
And Ego vs. Shark.
Yeah, Ego. I haven't watched that too. But he's more a comedic, like, director. And this seems like a more comedic movie than the previous Thor movies. And it still has that fish out of water sensibility, because he's on a different planet. And he seems like he doesn't have his powers anymore, but he has his best friend, Bruce Banner, with him, on the ride. And yeah, I can't just wait to see how, this turns out.
Yeah, I'm on the same planet as you are, where I can't wait for this film. I think Taika Waititi, I really like his sensibilities in his films. And he always makes, each film he has made so far, it has this quirkiness to it, but they're always different degrees of quirkiness. Like,
yes.
What We Do in the Shadows has to deal with, like, the horror of being a vampire, but not really. It's about like the real world version of a vampire.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to be a vampire in the real world.
Yeah.
In art world.
And right? When I mean the real world, it is shot like the real world.
Yeah, yes, that's
so
true, yes.
Like, there's, you know, a bunch of roommates, they're all vampires and whatnot. And then
you think that,
what was it?
Oh, you think they'll mention that stuff where, because there's like that, those videos, those mini videos of Thor spending his time on Earth right before Ragnarok, and he has like that buddy in Australia. You think that's canon? Like, will he mention
that? Yeah,
I think he is.
I think if he's dedicated himself this far, I think he's gonna do it all the way.
Mention that, my buddy in Australia,
yeah.
And stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be insane if it's like that.
Yeah, but watch all his films John has mentioned, especially like Hunt for the World People and Boy. I feel like you get this sense of, like, people claim that he might not do action well, but I think he will do it well enough that it will look unique to us.
Yes.
Although those films don't have that much action, those films have certain action elements, you could say, that you would feel like, oh, I could see where he could make the quirkiness of it all and whatnot. This is another example again where studios are taking like independent directors and giving them millions and millions of dollars to do this, you know, big budget action comic book film.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. I mean, it works for Zack Snyder, so we'll see. We'll keep seeing.
Yes.
So the last film I'm going to mention, coming from like another... this has no relationship to DC or Marvel. But DC and Marvel make video games, right, John?
Yes. And you say there are two characters from DC and Marvel in this film.
Are they? I didn't recognize them. But anyway.
It was in the beginning of the trailer.
The film I'm talking about and the trailer I'm going to talk about is Ready Player One.
I live here in Columbus, Ohio. In 2045, it's still ranked the fastest growing city on Earth. But it sure doesn't seem like it when you live in the stacks. They called our generation the missing millions. Missing not because we went anywhere. There's nowhere left to go. Nowhere. Except.
So that is a clip from Ready Player One, directed by Steven Spielberg. It's based on the novel from Ernest Cline, which I've never read, but I heard in the gaming community it's really highly regarded. Or if you don't really like that stuff, it might not be regarded as highly.
I feel like this book or the book has a lot of people love it or a lot of people hate it.
Yes.
Seeing this film or this trailer, it's a very interesting premise.
Yeah. And then because we haven't talked about, this is like one of the only films we haven't talked about in our podcast, or we never mentioned about like the novel before. So this is the plot synopsis from IMDb really quick. When the creator of the MMO called Oasis dot of the wait wait when the creator of the an o, MMO called the Oasis dies, he released a video in which he challenges all Oasis users to find his Easter egg, which will give the finder his fortune. Wade Watts finds the first clue and starts a race for the egg. There's a lot going on in this trailer. There's a lot of stuff like I'm like questioning because they're owned by WB. This is produced by, I think it's produced by WB. So like a lot of WB properties are on there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting. I think for myself, I think I like what I'm seeing, but I don't know if I'm gonna watch it like first day in the movie theater. I need more. I need to know like why are they racing at this moment, or
yes,
I need more character development in this trailer. Like it's, I understand it's a boy trying to find a world in the virtual reality, and then it's like, okay, I understand all that, but give me something like new, something that I could like think about.
That plot synopsis that you just read, it reminds me of that Peter Molyneux game where you have to chip a block.
Yeah.
And then, like, the greatest gift in the world is there. That's why I was like, is the creator Peter Molyneux in here in this movie?
Oh, probably.
We'll see. Yeah.
Oh, so what's your thoughts, John?
Oh, I thought you still had more.
No.
My thoughts of the trailer, it is very overwhelming. There's pop culture, you know, they say in the trailer, the holy grail pop reference or pop culture thing, blah, 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 I guess, it feels like they highly, regard this film as this like really great literature that everyone should read if you love pop culture. And in the trailer, it shows, in video games, but not just video games. It seems like if you like movies, there's references of stuff that I never thought will be seen in the movie together. Like I said earlier, there are two DC and Marvel characters together. It seems like them. I'm not 100% sure, but they look like the perfect couple. It's Harley Quinn and Deadpool is in the beginning of the trailer.
Oh, I need to rewatch the trailer now.
Yes, it's a scene where the boy enters like the what do you call it, the hub area where everyone can just discuss stuff in the hub world of this video game. And then later on, they show a battle, and then you see Duke Nukem in the background, and Freddy's coming from behind.
I saw that one, yeah.
Yes, and I was like, what the heck is happening? And it seems like Halo guy is in there too. That's why I'm like, all this stuff is very overwhelming. And then the next scene, you see the Iron Giant is in there, and it would be very surprising to see Vin Diesel in here voicing the Iron Giant. Like, did they just get every like pop culture reference that people love and just put in here? And then the last shot of this film is literally the thing that I was like, what is happening in this trailer? Is the DeLorean is flying in here, and it's owned by WB, and like all this licensing is like insane the way they did this. And it makes me feel like, hey, if Sony and Marvel and Disney can get along, I guess WB can just do anything it wants and then get everything. I mean, if you have seen the Lego movies, this is exactly what's happening. It's WB just getting all these licensing and just putting it all together, it seems like. And yeah, it feels like Tron the video game, but I don't know, it just feels insane that that's what's happening in this trailer. I'm looking forward to it. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I don't know if I'll watch it. If it's just, you know, scene after scene of just pop culture reference, I probably will never, I really don't want to like see that all the time. I want like a story with the boy. I want to know the reason why he's doing it. And what I've read about, or what I've seen or heard, what people, you know, discuss about this book, like I said, people either hate it, and I see the reason why people would hate it, and people will love it, and I see that same reason. And it seems like the people who really hate it is just because there's too much pop culture references. And this book is written, what year? Like in the 80s or 90s?
No, I think it's in late 2000s, John.
Oh, 2000. Okay. Yeah. So what I heard, the book referenced a lot of 80s stuff. That's
early 2000s. Why am I saying late 2000s?
I don't know. but yeah, we'll see. I like the trailer of what it is, but like you said, if there's no like cool story about it, it's just a boy traveling to these different worlds and no real story. I don't find myself watching the movie.
It just feels overstuffed to me.
Yes, it does feel overstuffed.
And if we could add all these properties, where's our Roger Rabbit sequel, guys?
Oh, yes. Like, oh, what if Roger Rabbit just shows up in here? It's like, hey, here. Did Steven Spielberg direct
it? I think he produced it.
Produced it, yeah.
He has a hand in it somehow. I
think. Yes. Yeah. Wait, didn't... No. Not Tim Burton didn't do that. but yeah, those are my thoughts about that trailer.
Yeah, that's all the trailers we have so far, and we recommend them that you guys seek them out. We might have a link to, like, there's a page, I think from vulture.com, that has all the link to the trailers that we're talking about. So find that on our show notes. I know probably you guys didn't even know we have show notes.
Yeah, you can click on the links on your, if you have an iPhone. I think, I'm not really sure if you could do it on the Android phones, but I know an iPhone, if you click, there's links and it will actually link to stuff that we're discussing.
So John, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at AbayArts on Twitter in the World Wide Web.
You can find me on the World Wide Web at Benjamin Abaya on Twitter and Instagram. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find us on the Twitter on TFA Now. Right, John? TFA Now?
Yes.
Also on Facebook, the Freaking Awesome Podcast. You can contact us, contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Please send, once again, questions, recommendations, thoughts, opinions, and whatnot. I think that's it. I'm not going to add anything to the 17 freaking awesome list right now. Do you have anything to add, John?
Maybe player one someday.
No, I don't know about that.
I have nothing.
Cool. Anyway, thank you again. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It starts with one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I'm designed this rhyme to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock takes life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on to, didn't even know. I wasted it all just to watch you go. And even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard and got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had to fall to lose it all. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. They're coming to get you, Barbara.